From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. You can email us, of course, at anything@kera.org. You can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's Friday, the 6th of June, 70th anniversary of D-Day, as you've probably been hearing on the news or reading in the paper today. And we're taking your questions live, your answers live this hour, 800-933-5372. A couple of questions to start off that have come in from the email. This is from Higgins, who says, with all the construction these days, it's easy to spot a tanker truck marked non-potable water. Higgins asks, where does that water come from? Is it provided by a municipality? Are there private wells owned by the construction company? Are there non-potable water vendors? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. We got an email also from Mark, who says, I'm a home brewer trying to find a source for a water quality report for the city of Dallas, for information relevant to brewing beer. He says, the reports I find online deal with contaminants but do not cover the qualities I need to know about in order to fine-tune the water for brewing. I know there are lots of home brewers in the KERA coverage area, and I'd be willing to bet that someone has found a source for this information. So I'm hoping that the audience can hook me up. Well, call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. I got the Twitter fired up here, so you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Paige says, hey, Jeff, I live in South Lake. Love your show. Thank you very much, Paige. My question, she says, is I'm searching for a person that specializes specifically in or knows how to professionally groom my type of dog, which is a Brussels Griffon. Is it Griffon or Griffon? Griffon sounds pretty fancy. So we'll go with Brussels Griffon. It's a pretty rare breed. Not that many people know how to groom them. Haven't had great experiences. Does anybody know where to get a Brussels Griffon groomed? It's a cute little dog. I looked it up. Not Paige's. I'm sure Paige's is cute too, but the type of dog is cute. Julia says, my friend's father told her that several of his neighbors in Houston are getting their wood-framed windows replaced due to a government program to benefit owners of 1940s and older homes. Does anyone know of such a program? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's start on the phones today with Mark in Dallas. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeff. Hey. I had a question. I was traveling to South America recently, and I tried a fruit that I've never seen before. It's part of the passion fruit family. It's called a grenadilla. It's shaped just like an orange, but it has kind of a hard shell, and when you open it up, it has a really nice fruit inside. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if anybody knew if those were available anywhere in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
All right. Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. Thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Kim emailed. She says, I've heard you refer to a free legal consultation service in the Dallas area. I think it's by phone once a week or so. I think it's a couple of times a month, actually. It's through the Dallas Bar Association. They do a free legal line, and it's like the first and third Wednesday or something of the month, and you call in and you can talk to an anonymous attorney. But I can't remember specifically. Someone will let us know. Perhaps Jessica Smith over at the Dallas Bar Association is listening and can shoot us the details on their next legal helpline. But it is dallasbar.org is their website if you want to give them a call. Let's see. We had the question last week about EEOC complaints and the cutoff, and what to do afterward. Well, Ala emailed us, says, I work for the City of Fort Worth Human Resources Commission, where employees can file complaints against employers as well as housing discrimination complaints, and the complaints are dual filed with the EEOC and the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, respectively. Ala says EEOC's time jurisdiction cuts off at 300 days, but the caller can still file a civil lawsuit or a complaint with the human resources of the company and try going further up the chain of command. So if the EEOC's cut off, though, you can still file a lawsuit, et cetera. And Andy wrote to us and says, I'm a transplant from Northern California who planned on living in Texas for 1 year or less. However, that was back in 2001, and I have yet to leave the Lone Star State. Andy says, looks like I'll be a Texan from here on out. So I'm looking for the definitive history of Texas. I'm looking for the best book out there, and I'm willing to bet my fellow Texans have an opinion on this topic. Well, let us know what you think Andy should read to learn about Texas. I remember my Texas history book was so big it barely fit in my backpack in seventh grade. And there's been a little more history since then, I think. But if you have a suggestion, give us a call, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org. You can tweet me as well. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And up next on the phone, we have Jeremy in Dallas. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, I had an answer for the potable water.
Yeah.
I am a safety manager at a construction company, and it's an OSHA regulation. Basically, the potable water is to signify that it's not for drinking for the employees or the construction workers on site. Typically, we use our potable water for, like, concrete to mix up quickcrete or something like that to set post. But, yes, sir, that's what it's for.
So it's is it a sign that the water's not clean enough for drinking, or that the truck isn't sanitized to carry drinking water? I mean, where does the water come from? That's
well, we fill it up. We fill it up at our shop,
uh-huh,
just via hose.
Okay.
And what it's supposed to signify is that nobody goes in there to drink the water. We just
gotcha.
Got walked by an OSHA regulator, and that's one thing that they wanted to make sure we had on all of our water. So the
water is potable before you put it in the truck, but once you put it in the truck and it's labeled that way, it's not.
No, sir.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks so much for calling.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Art in Tyler is next on the phone. Hey, Art.
Yes, I work for a construction company and have my whole life. And I never did. Water is very important in road and heavy civil construction. And I've loaded water trucks out of affluent, right straight out of water treatment plants. I've taken it out of fire hydrants. So you never know what's been in that truck.
Right.
Plus, if Jeremy's hauling clean water right out of a fire hydrant, that water truck might have hauled something else in the
past.
So it's always non-potable. That is an OSHA regulation. It has been a long time. But my favorite water truck story, and Jeremy will appreciate this, I never did tell the safety man when I did it. In the early 80s, when I was a student at Texas A&M, I worked for a paving contractor and had to haul was hauling water right next to the A&M campus, and there was a lot of traffic, and there was a fellow Aggie student in a convertible that kept trying to cut in and out of traffic, and he kept pulling right up behind me, right on my bumper at traffic lights and honking the horn. So what I did is I accelerated greatly and let the clutch out, which took a big, huge surge of water about 10 foot up in the air and landed it right in the middle of his convertible, which slowed him down and made him aware of what non-potable means.
this was basically an open tank you were hauling.
Yeah, there's hatch. Some will have a hatch on top. Some don't. You have to be pretty resourceful to make it do what I did.
So, well, hey, thanks for sharing. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Right. And great question. The public needs to know that.
Absolutely.
That non-potable means do not drink it.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Richard says, non-potable water might be drawn from creeks. And from what Art tells us, it could be drawn from anywhere. So it's not necessarily the source, because obviously if it comes out of the hose, it's drinking water. But once it goes in the truck, and that's where we got this from Morris, listening in central Dallas, I think. Morris says it usually comes out of a fire hydrant. It becomes non-potable once it goes into that rusty tank truck. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next on the phone is Linda in Denton. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I'm talking about the viewer or the listener who was asking about Texas history. James Michener wrote a great book called Texas that, although it is nonfiction, it gives a lot of history about the Rangers, how Texas was formed, and it would be a very informational book for you.
Historical fiction by Michener. That's a great suggestion. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
Let's get an opinion on this from Dennis in Fort Worth. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, hey, Jeff. There.
Go right ahead.
The previous caller just absolutely said exactly what I was going to say. James Michener's Texas is a great read. It is fictionalized, but it's easy to separate the facts from the story. And it's just a really enjoyable read, as is anything James Michener wrote, in my opinion.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, you're welcome. Right. Bye.
Let's see. We got a vote for the book Lone Star from B.C. By T.E. Fehrenbaugh. I think that's – I'll have to look that up at the break. But Lone Star is what B.C. recommended. Let's see. A question from Cheryl in Oak Point. Cheryl wants to know, during the spring and summer, there are trees and bushes that bloom with tiny white flowers and have the most wonderful scent, kind of like honeysuckle. Does anybody know what those trees or bushes are? I wondered this myself. Does anybody know what's blooming right now in the parks and in the woods? And it looks kind of like a privet bush or something with the tiny little leaves and the, you know, stems and stuff, tall trees and bushes, but, does anybody know what that is? Ryan in Dallas says several weeks ago, a Dallas street construction maintenance crew came through our neighborhood and scraped patches of pavement about 1 inch deep in a seemingly random pattern. The next day, they came back and filled the patches in with new asphalt. Does anyone know why they did this? What purpose does it serve? Does anybody have any idea? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Clark in Weatherford. Hello, Clark.
Hello, Jeff. I got you just before the break. I second the thing about James Michener.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to get to my question in a minute. And also, you know, he wrote a book about the relationship.
You have about 40 seconds, so.
Anna and Sam Houston. Anyway, why does the world race around ovals clockwise, in the United States, we go counterclockwise?
We've dealt with this before.
Okay, I'll take the answer off the air.
I think the answer was just because we could.
We could.
But we had a definitive answer on this, and someone will remember what it was.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for calling.
And I'll just listen to you. Bye-bye.
Great. Well, you can just listen to us, or you can call us, 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll be back in a couple minutes. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. And you can also tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones at 800-933-5372 and talk to Dalton in Denton. Hello, Dalton.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, I have a question, an answer to the question about books that will tell you about Texas.
Okay.
The first one's a nonfiction book. It's written by a retired history professor at the University of North Texas. His name is A. Ray Stevens, and the book is called Texas, A Historical Atlas. It covers it all, the history. It tells you why Texas is shaped the way it is. It has great maps, geography, climate, all of those kinds of things. For a nonfiction book that gives a lot of the flavor of Texas, there's a book that won the National Book Award in 1942, and it's written by George Sessions Perry, and it's called Hold Autumn in Your Hand. It's a great book that talks about agricultural Texas, especially as it relates to cotton production.
Okay. Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
You bet.
All right. We got a couple more suggestions on this from Edward in Dallas, who says, unquestionably, Randolph, quote, Mike Campbell of UNT, his book, Gone to Texas, A History of the Lone Star State. He says, alas, not yet in paperback. It is so new. The caller also gained from Greg Cantrell at TCU, his book, Lone Star Pasts, Memory and History in Texas. Both are terrific historians, and each book could lead your listener to a lot of other good writing on the subject. 800-933-5372. This, I think, is going to be a popular question. Let's talk to John in Rockwall. Hey, John.
Hi. I wanted to pop in on the question, too, about a history of Texas. The best book that I've read is called Lone Star, and I believe the author's name is Fehrenbach. It's historical, but it's very readable.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Let's see. We got an email from Robert on the potable water / non-potable water question. And Robert says, yes, these trucks have a sign on them to prevent people from drinking the water. The source of the water can be anything from permitted, fire hydrant, lake or river, and or recycled water somewhere on the construction site. They are generally used to balance moisture content in the soil and control dust by misting during demolition. So there you go. That's a pretty definitive answer there. Let's see. This is from someone who says, in April, I accidentally knocked a favorite pierced pearl earring into a fetid puddle. I carefully wiped it down with alcohol several times, but have never worn it for fear of bacteria causing an infection. After 5+ weeks, is it safe to wear? If not, what can I do to make it safe? I bet it's, I'm not a bacteriologist or a doctor or anything, but it's probably, I mean, if you wiped it down 5 or 6 times with alcohol, it's probably okay. I mean, you know, we're covered with bacteria, like, you know, billions and billions of them, and they're all inside of us too, actually. That's what really, those are the real inhabitants of planet Earth. Someone will have an opinion. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Maybe someone will have a more qualified opinion. The bacteriologists out there. You can also tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Mohan in Flower Mound writes, I have a box full of youth sports trophies collected over the years. Is there an organization that will accept them for recycling? You might try, calling the local art teachers, because maybe they could get used in projects and stuff. But maybe someone will have an answer. And let's go back to the phones. Let's talk next to 800-933-5372 to David in Dallas. Hey, David.
Hey there. On your Texas history, I know that the caller specifically asked for books, but I would highly recommend that he not overlook the museums, especially the ones that are dedicated to Texas history, such as the Institute of Texan Cultures in San Antonio.
Very good. Great suggestion. Thanks, David.
Okay. Have a good day.
Maybe there's a road trip in order. I know there's a museum in Austin as well that focuses on that. Let's talk next to Paul in North Dallas. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I'm sure this has been mentioned, but the two books that quintessentially for me have to do with Texas history, and they're both, you can call them fiction, but they're the two by John Graves. One of them is Goodbye to a River, and the other one is Hard Scrabble. And I don't know if they've been mentioned before. Have they?
Not yet. So
Black River is about a guy who paddled down the Brazos when he heard that when he got back from the Korean War. He heard that the Corps engineers were going to dam up the Brazos. So he and his dog took a canoe trip down the Brazos, and he waxed loquacious, as they say, about the goings on the Brazos as he paddles down.
Hmm.
And then Hard Scrabble is one that will be near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, they're both really quite good books from what I understand, and thanks for reminding us about them.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Jesse in Terrell. Hello, Jesse.
Hi.
Hey there.
I think I may have an answer about the bushes that have the sweet-smelling flower. It sounds like you're describing a camellia, and they bloom, depending on the type of camellia, they bloom all different types, times of the year. Some even like around Christmas time. But that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
It has a glossy leaf like a privet hedge, and it can be trimmed into a tree shape as well.
Very good. Thanks for calling.
All right. You're welcome. Right. Bye-bye.
A couple other suggestions on this. Mark says it may be ligustrum. Privet is a type of ligustrum, he says, and he included a picture. Let's see. Lauren says, I think the caller might be seeing a broadleaf privet in bloom. Currently, they are in bloom. However, to me, the blooms appear to be clusters of small yellow cream-tinted flowers. They're actually evergreen, Lauren says, which is one reason they are popular as privacy trees or tall shrubs, and in spring create clusters of small, hard purple fruits. In fact, she says, I can smell the fragrance through my backyard door right now. We also got a suggestion from CJ, who says the fragrant flowering bush is abelia, and they are also blooming right now, the abelias. And Jamie says it's probably jasmine. Love it. She says, I know it was blooming in San Antonio a month ago. Maybe it's still blooming here in Dallas. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Lynn in Weatherford. Hey, Lynn.
Hello.
Hey there.
I have another suggestion for the fragrant shrub.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking it's probably one that's called sweet olive or osmanthus. And they're a green shrub, and they can be trimmed, and they have a tiny, tiny little white flower and little clusters of them. And one bush can fill the whole yard with fragrance, but they're very selective. They only release fragrance if the temperature is not above 85 or below 65.
Hmm.
I mean, they'll have flowers, but you can't smell them unless the temperature's right. But very, very sweet. It smells like if you cut a peach in half and smelled the fruit. They're really pleasant.
Very good.
That's osmanthus or sweet olive, and they're hard to find here.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
All right. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Chip in Rowlett. Hello, Chip.
Howdy.
Hey there.
Well, what I've got is actually a Texas folklorist, Texas historian, while back, J. Frank Dobie.
Ah, okay.
And he wrote a lot of the Texas tales, and he actually helped make the Longhorn, helped save them from being wiped out in some of his tales and things. But he is a classic. I'm from way back and has a lot of big ties to the University of Texas.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling, Chip.
Sure thing.
Right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. The Twitter is functioning today as well, and we're getting tweets from folks. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Corey says, I'm doing a research project for a class and wondering if there are any active cosplay groups in the Dallas area. We've had a question about this type of thing before, and the suggestion we've gotten before is to look up the local chapter of the Society for Creative Anachronism. And you can look them up online. They're just sca.org, and maybe that will help you find a local group. But that's the answer we've had before. Maybe somebody has another answer, and will give us a call at 800-933-5372 or email us anything at KERA.org. Jim in Dallas emailed us and wants to know if anyone knows why many Texas cities are not in the county of the same name. He says, like, Houston is in Harris County, Crockett is in Houston County, and Crockett County is way out in West Texas. Let's see. We got an email from Selena who says, I'd love to get more involved in my community, especially anything involving the environment. Does anyone know of any organizations that help pick up litter and or plant trees, things of that nature? I know there's a group around White Rock Lake that called For the Love of the Lake that does, you know, trash and planting and things like that. I don't know about any other organizations, but we'd love to hear about them from you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And one more vote from Keith for T.R. Fehrenbach's Lone Star. Actually, he says it's an antiquated history of Texas, first published in the 1940s. So maybe it's not a vote for it. Keith says a much better updated read is Beyond Myths and Legends, a narrative history of Texas, published by Abigail Press and written by Kenneth Howell, which has a lot on the history of Texas in the 20th century as well. Leonard says, be sure not to overlook Daughter of Dallas by Vivian Castleberry, first female editor of the Dallas Morning News, he says, for detailed history of the women, of women's influence on Texas history, which is a great suggestion as well. 800-933-5372. Up next is Richard in Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hello. I have an answer on the lady who wanted to know about the replacement of wooden windows.
Yeah.
That's part of a federal grant program that's administered differently in each location, but normally it's by the same agency, Community Action Agency, that does Project Head Start and Meals on Wheels. If they would look up weatherization project, with that organization, you go out and request a survey. They'll send a team out to look at your house and write up a work order and then present that to the contractors who will then address all the energy leakage problems. It's designed to lower the overall demand on the public grid, power grid, so that the need to build power plants is reduced. It's sort of a catch-all, but it's you need to be a little patient. Sometimes it takes 8 months before your work order rises to the top of the pile.
Very good. And so where should our listener look again?
I think the general term is the Community Action Agency for where they live. And it's normally the same agency that administers the Project Head Start schools and Meals on Wheels.
Very good.
They also run this weatherization program. That's sort of the key word.
Great. Richard, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Right. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Rick in Joshua. Hey, Rick.
How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is for the lady who had the pearl earring that needed to get rid of the bacteria.
Yeah.
If she just puts it in her freezer for 24 hours, freezing kills all bacteria.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
You betcha. God bless. Bye-bye.
A couple of answers on this question. Here's Robin in Fort Worth. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Hey there.
I'm addressing the same thing, the lady with the pearl earring.
Yeah.
She should not wipe it down with alcohol. Alcohol actually will dissolve the pearl. However, if she drops it in peroxide, if there's active bacteria still there, the peroxide will foam. And if it doesn't foam, then she knows she's in pretty good shape.
Okay. I'm hopeful that she just wiped down the metal post part with the alcohol, but she did that, you know, back in April, so I guess she would know by now if she messed up the pearl or not, but thanks for the call.
Sure.
Let's get one more answer on this from Leah in Flower Mound. Hello, Leah.
Hello.
Hey there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling for the pearl earring. I am a dental hygienist, and I deal a lot with bacteria, and I took extensive classes in microbiology. Wiping it down with alcohol was a really good idea. I would suggest that as long as her ear isn't bleeding of any kind or has already an infection, I think she'll really be okay with that and just watching for that. She could even rub the post or her ear with Neosporin, which is a natural minimal antiseptic,
right.
Kind of topical.
Great. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
No problem. Right. Thank you.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. This is from Jason, who says, I'm a homebrewer in Mesquite, and the water report from my area is available at the Mesquite Utilities website. If you can't find the Dallas water report as easily, you may want to look up the report from Mesquite, as the water will be similar, he says, if not identical. Let's see. One more on the Texas history, a couple more actually. This is from Taylor, who wants to extend a big Texas welcome to our Northern Californian listener. Although, Taylor, they've been here, it sounds like they've been here about 13 years. So, Taylor says, I would recommend a book called Big, Hot, Cheap, and Right, What America Can Learn from the Strange Genius of Texas by Erica Greeter. It's a pretty recent book. I think it came out last year. She writes for Texas Monthly, by the way. And one more from Jeff in Dallas, who says, it's not a comprehensive history of Texas, but I highly recommend The Big Rich by Brian Burrow, a nonfiction book about the big four Texas oilmen, H.L. Hunt, Roy Cullen, Clint Murchison, and Sid Richardson. It's a great read and fascinating story, Jeff says, especially for those of us who live in Houston or Dallas. And while not comprehensive, it's essential to understanding Texas from around World War II to the near present. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Email address, anything at kera.org. This is from Jason, who says, on the cosplay question, I would think Zeus Comics would be a great place to ask about an active cosplay chapter. They have a huge comic, anime, superhero, etc. following. Thanks, Jason. You can call us, 800-933-5372. You can email us, anything at kera.org. Or you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. More of your questions and answers. Anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Up next on the phone, we have Albert calling from Dallas. Hello, Albert.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, I'm trying to find a place where I can take my Doberman to get his ears cropped. So if anybody can help me out with that,
I think they typically do that at the veterinarian, right? Isn't that, yeah?
Not a lot of them do it.
Uh huh. I think that would probably be the first place to look. But and of course, I'm sure we're going to get. But we'll see if we get an answer for you, Albert. And I'm sure we're going to get lots of. I'm sure we're going to get lots of email or calls about people who. You know, suggest that you not get your dog's ears cropped. But of course, you know, this is one of those age old things that we discuss about dogs and dog breeding and service dogs and work dogs too. So grain of salt time. Let's talk next to John calling from Colleyville. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going all right.
I've got a cosplay answer for you.
Okay.
There is a convention called Project Akon going on at the Hilton Anatole this weekend. That's a huge Texas cosplay event. They should stop by there.
Very good. Hey, thanks for the tip.
Anytime at all. And I've got a Doberman, too, but mine have always had their ears cut when they were very, very young. So.
Yeah, and you got it done at the vet, right?
Well, actually, the vet came out to the breeders and did it when they were about 3 days old.
See, I grew up with Schnauzers, and you know, that's what you did with Schnauzers. I mean, that's just what you did. You docked their tails, you cropped their ears, and for Dobermans, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. It's because they're typically used as like patrol dogs, right? And it also keeps their ears clean too, right?
Well, it helps for them. They also just look a lot more intimidating, even if they're just as sweet as can be.
Right, right. All right. Well, John, thanks so much for calling.
All right, have a good day.
You bet. Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Brianna on Twitter, I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. So regarding the cosplay question in Dallas, check out North Texas Cosplay Group on Facebook. Pretty active group of users there. So there's another tip for Corey. And of course, you can see this conversation on the Twitter and respond there too. So I'm sure Corey's probably already seen the answer. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. And up next, and that's where we find Sean in Plano. Hello, Sean.
This is thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just moved to Plano this January, actually, mm-hmm. from Michigan. And my son is nonverbal autistic, and he's 17. And I'm just looking for a service dog for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not able to find any. People just say how to go find it on the internet. But I've been doing it almost my 3 or 4 months, but I'm not having any luck with it. Just trying to find something locally in Plano or anywhere around in this area. I tried the shelters and everything, but I'm not able to get at least a trainable service dog.
Right.
There are some places where they train, but they expect us to be a millionaire. So I'm just trying to be somewhere, something affordable.
Right.
Well,
we'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
Okay,
stay tuned, and if we don't get them today, and actually, if you want to email us, send us your info in case we get some stuff after the show, we can send it along your way.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is Peggy in Garland. Hello, Peggy.
Hey, I just wanted to correct something someone said about bacteria. I am a microbiologist, and I can tell you that putting something in the freezer will just stunt the bacteria. But when you bring it out, it just goes crazy. That's why you can't thaw hamburger meat out on the, the tabletop or something.
Very good. Well, we were hoping that we'd hear from someone with your expertise. So thank you so much for calling.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Line open 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Michael in Dallas. Hello, Michael.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
I think we're doing okay.
Can you hear me? I was having some trouble with my phone earlier.
You're on the air.
Excellent. So I was calling with an answer to the cosplay. I just wanted to reiterate the Project Akon that's going on right now at the Hilton Anatole. Also, there are a couple specific cosplay groups in Dallas. I know there is one for the Ghostbusters, the Dallas Ghostbusters group, and there is also one for X-Men.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Right. Thank you.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Another retired microbiologist says, I agree with advice from the dental hygienist. Rubbing alcohol, bleach solution, or hydrogen peroxide will kill microbes, but freezing, while it kills insects, does not kill many bacteria. It merely stops them from growing while frozen. Brian says, is one of many people who are saying freezing doesn't work. Brian, who says, a prior caller just made an erroneous and potentially dangerous statement. Freezing most certainly does not kill bacteria. The Centers for Disease Control, the Institutes of Health, World Health Organization, U.S. Army Medical Research of Infectious Disease, and virtually all other microbiology and disease research facilities rely upon freezers to store strains of bacteria and tissue samples for future use. When thawed properly, the cells are alive and well. Freezing is not a way to protect oneself from potential bacterial exposure. That's a dangerous myth, Brian says. So thank you so much to y'all for letting us know. Let's see. This is from Tina, who says, I work at a veterinary clinic, and most vets these days do not do dog ear cropping because it's extremely painful and considered a purely cosmetic procedure with no health benefits. So there's the other side of that issue. We got a lot of emails about freezing and bacteria, that it doesn't work. But Zach says, never use detergent, ammonia, or alcohol on pearls because it will damage them. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Gus in Denton. Hello, Gus.
Hi.
Hey there.
Got an answer if you want a good book on Texas.
Okay.
Far and away now. In the spirit of self-disclosure, I have lunch with the author about three times a week because we're both in the same history department.
Okay.
But it's Randolph Campbell gone to Texas.
Very good.
Oxford University Press, second edition. If you want a history of Texas the way Texans wish it had been, the way professional Texans wish it had been, then you have T.R. Fehrenbach's. I think the title of that's Lone Star.
Right. All right.
A second choice on a good book would be Calvert de Leon and Cantrell. But I don't know the title of that off the top of my head, and I'm not in my office.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Nor am I having lunch with the author.
Well, hey, I appreciate the call, and we'll put it on the list.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Let's see. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Ann in Dallas. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
Hey there.
I'm calling with regard to the Doberman ear cropping.
Yeah.
I volunteer at Doberman Rescue of North Texas in Grand Prairie, and I'm also a board member of the Doberman Pinscher Club of Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And we typically recommend two veterinarians in the area. Can I give the name on the air, or
sure,
should I send it to you by email?
You can give the name.
Leanne Robertson in Flower Mound.
Okay.
I believe her clinic is called Lantana Animal
okay.
Hospital. And Debbie Schaefer in Frisco. You want to go to a veterinarian who knows Dobermans and knows the head shape and that sort of
right,
thing.
Right.
And as the other caller mentioned, oftentimes the vets don't even practice that. So you want to go to someone who's
right.
practiced and experienced.
Very good. Hey, Ann, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Let's get one more on this from John in Fort Worth. Hello, John.
Yeah, I'm calling about cutting. The guy wants to get his Doberman's ears cut.
Uh-huh.
And part of what I was going to say has already been said, but I would emphasize to the caller that the price range in doing that can be anywhere from $500 to $150 or $200. If he's going to have it done, call around and make sure he gets the best price. Because I had a Doberman, and I had his ears cut, and I was astonished at the difference in prices
right.
that some of the veterinarians
All
charge.
Right.
So
well,
if he's going to do it, make sure that he calls around to a bunch of different people and gets the best price.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, John.
You bet.
Of course, it seems to me, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like, do you want the cheapest surgery on your beloved family member? And we're getting a lot of emails from folks who are saying that a lot of vets don't do it. Al said on Twitter, fewer and fewer veterinarians are doing ear crops. And Al says, best done at 12 weeks of age, but differs by vet. I've never done them. And Al signs his tweet DVM. So I think Al may know. And we got this from LC, who says, I'm a vet tech, and there is actually a medical reason to get the dog's ears cut. It allows air to reach the ear canal and prevents yeast infections, which plague most floppy ear dogs. You should call around to a vet, you know, and this caller says most of them will do it, and it looks like this vet tech works for VCA. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Patricia in Hillsboro. Hello, Patricia.
Hello.
Hey there.
I just wanted to make a comment on two things, like the information for Texas.
Uh-huh.
You can get all the free information you want going to the library. They have dozens and dozens and dozens of books. The other thing is you can go to a college and enroll in a class, and you can get a real good start there. And then about the peroxide and the alcohol.
Oh, yeah, on the earring.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, that was supposed to be on an earring. I just did want to mention that you should never put peroxide or alcohol on a wound because it does more damage to the tissue, and then you have a worse problem. My mother was a doctor, and she never put that on us. and we had animals that we doctored, and we never put that on an animal because it, you know when you put alcohol on a wound, it stings. Well, when it stings, it's actually destroying tissue, and so it's going to make it worse, and the same with the peroxide.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks so much for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's get one more call here and talk to Ahmed in Dallas. Hello, Ahmed.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Just, I have a question about if everybody knows short classes for computer fixing and telephone, mobile phone fixing.
And you're looking in Dallas to find some classes on this?
Yeah, in Dallas.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get – we're almost out of time today.
Okay.
So we'll see if we get some suggestions for you maybe on the show next week, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Right. Thank you a lot.
So if
Bye-bye.
You know places in Dallas to find short form classes for fixing computers or mobile phones, shoot us an email, anything at kera.org, or call us next week, 800-933-5372. We also got a tweet from Sharon who says the best resource for autistic teens in Plano is the Nonpareil Institute, and they're online at NP. Paul, ITX.org, Nonpareil Institute. So thanks very much for that suggestion from Sharon. And it looks like we got one more suggestion on Texas books from Paul. Paul agrees with the suggestions on Texas books, especially the John Graves and J. Frank Dobie books. He says, buy them at an indie bookstore. Today's Dallas Morning News Guide section has a feature on DFW area stores. And coming up on Monday on the Think Show, we're going to talk to some bookstore folks right here in the studio. Jerome Weeks is going to be here guest hosting Think, so tune in for that as well. Let's get one more quick call from Joanne in Dallas. Hello, Joanne. We got about 30 seconds.
Hi. About the autistic child.
Yeah.
One good place that you can get free services from Hope Horizon in Richardson. That's Hope Horizon. And there's a big group of autistic, it's a large group of supporters, I think in Arlington or somewhere. If you go on the Internet and do a search for Texas and autism, you'll find a lot of support groups and stuff. And anyway, try calling Hope Horizon. I don't have their number right now, but it's in Richardson.
Very good. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Well, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Fiona Norton answers the phone calls, and Christine McConnell produces the podcast, which you can download. You can get this week's show, today's show, in a couple of hours online at kera.org/anything. And, of course, email us your questions and answers and thoughts and comments, hopes and dreams, anything at kera.org. Thanks so much for listening, for writing and calling in, and have a great weekend, everyone.